God has a question for us, and he wants us to examine our lives and determine what the answer will be. The question is, can you read the handwriting on the wall? Can you read the handwriting on the wall? I'll be reading from the New Living Translation in the book of Daniel, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 31. You can read the verses later. I'm going with the New Living Translation. Just want you to relax, get comfortable, shake off everything that you came in here with, and pretend that it's story time. Amen. Daniel chapter 5, the writing on the wall. A number of years later, King Belshazzar gave a great feast for thousands of his nobles and drank wine with them. When Belshazzar was drinking, he gave orders to bring in the gold and the silver cups that his predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that he and his nobles, his wives and his concubines, might drink from them. So they brought these gold cups taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines, drank from them. They drank toast from them to honor their idols made of gold, silver, bronze, wood, and stone. At that very moment, they saw the fingers of a human hand writing on the plaster wall of the king's palace near the lampstand. The king himself saw the hand as it wrote, and his face turned pale with fear. Such terror gripped him that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way beneath him. The king shouted for the enchanters, the astrologers, and the fortune tellers to be brought before him. He said to these wise men of Babylon, "Whoever can read this writing and tell me what it means will be dressed in purple robes of royal honor and will wear a gold chain around his neck. He will become the third highest ruler in the kingdom." But when all the king's wise men came in, none of them could read the writing or tell him what it meant. So the king grew even more alarmed, and his face turned ashen white. His nobles, too, were shaken. But when the queen mother heard what was happening, she hurried to the banquet hall. She said to Belshazzar, "Long live the king. Don't be so pale and afraid about this. There is a man in your kingdom who has within him the spirit of the holy gods. During Nebuchadnezzar's reign, this man was found to have insight, understanding, and wisdom as though he himself were a god. Your predecessor, King Nebuchadnezzar, made him chief over all the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and fortune tellers of Babylon. This man, Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, has a sharp mind and is filled with divine knowledge and understanding. He can interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means." So Daniel was brought in before the king. The king asked him, "Are you Daniel, who was exiled from Judah by my predecessor, King Nebuchadnezzar? I have heard that you have the spirit of the gods within you, and that you are filled with insight, understanding, and wisdom. My wise men and enchanters have tried to read this writing on the wall, but they cannot. I am told that you can give interpretations and solve difficult problems. If you can read these words and tell me their meaning, you will be clothed in purple robes of royal honor, and you will wear a gold chain around your neck. You will become the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Daniel answered the king, "Keep your gifts or give them to someone else, but I will tell you what the writing means. Your Majesty, the Most High God gave sovereignty, majesty, glory, and honor to your predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar. He made him so great that people of all races and nations and languages trembled before him in fear. He killed those he wanted to kill. He spared those he wanted to spare. He honored those he wanted to honor, and he disgraced those that he wanted to disgrace. But when his heart and his mind were hardened with pride, he was brought down from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven from human society. He was given the mind of an animal, and he lived among the wild donkeys. He ate grass like a cow, and he was drenched with the dew of heaven until he learned that the Most High God rules the kingdoms of the world and appoints anyone he desires over them. You are his successor, O Belshazzar, and you knew all of this. yet you have not humbled yourself. For you have defied the Lord of heaven and have had these cups of his temple brought before you. You and your nobles and your wives and your concubines have been drinking wine from them while praising gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone, gods that neither see nor hear nor know anything. But you have not honored the God who gives you the breath of life and controls your destiny. So God has sent this hand to write a message. This is the message that was written. Mene, mene, tekel parson. This is what these words mean. Mene means numbered. God has numbered the days of your reign and has brought it to an end. Tekel means weighed. You have been weighed in the balances and you have failed the test. Parson means divided. Your kingdom has been divided and has been given to the Medes and the Persians. Then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was dressed in purple robes, a gold chain was hung around his neck, and he was pronounced the highest ruler, the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, the Babylonian king, was killed. And Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. What does God want us to see in this text scripture? How does it apply to us? What is God telling us? If we take this story for face value, here are some givens, a brief review of the 31 verses. The king, the man in charge, Belshazzar, gave a feast for 1,000 of his nobles, and included in that feast were his wives, his concubines, a little further down in the scripture, his enchanters, his astrologers, and fortune tellers were brought in on the scene. The king, the one in power, was drinking with his partygoers, and he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver cups that his predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem. Not good. Amen. While they drank from the gold and silver cups taken from the house of God, they had the audacity to praise their idols made of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Not good. Amen. Suddenly, they saw the fingers of a human hand writing on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace near the lampstand. Long story short, the king saw it. He turned pale with fear. His knees knocked one against the other, and he fell out because his legs gave way. He called for all of his enchanters. He called for his astrologers. He called for his fortune tellers and his wise men of Babylon to read the writing, to interpret the words. He even offered special perks up to being the third highest ruler in the kingdom. But they couldn't read it. They couldn't interpret the message. At that time, everybody was in a panic. The queen mother heard what was going on. She was down the hall. She rushed in, told Belshazzar, "Chill out. Don't panic. Long live the king. You're still the man," she said. "There's a man in your kingdom who has within him the spirit of the holy gods." Keep that point in mind. There's a man in the kingdom that has the spirit of the holy gods. She told Belshazzar that during Nebuchadnezzar's reign, the man had understanding, the wisdom of God. He had an excellent spirit. He had knowledge. He interpreted dreams. He interpreted hard riddles. He answered hard questions. Queen Mother told Belshazzar that his grandfather, who we know was Nebuchadnezzar, made this man, we know as Daniel, master over all the magicians, all the astrologers, and all the soothsayers. Now, in comes Daniel before the king. The king told Daniel all the things that he had heard about him, and he told him that his wise men and enchanters had tried to read the words. They tried to interpret the language, but they couldn't. Belshazzar told Daniel, "If you can give me an interpretation, I will hook you up with the royal robes, the gold chain, and you'll be the third highest in the kingdom." Daniel answered and said, "Keep your gifts or give them to someone else, but I'll tell you what the writing means." First of all, Daniel goes on to tell the king about himself and his ways. He told him how the Most High God had given his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, sovereignty, majesty, glory, and honor. He made him so great that people of all races and nations, languages, feared him to the point of trembling. If he wanted to kill him, he would have him killed. If he wanted to spare them, he had them spared. If he wanted to honor them, he did that too. If he wanted to put them down and disgrace them, he did that as well. But when his heart was so lifted up with arrogance and pride, God removed him from his throne and his glory was stripped from him. He was driven from the midst of society and human existence. His heart was made like the beast, and he dwelt among the wild donkeys. He ate grass like a cow. He remained in that state until he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Most High God was the ruler over all kingdoms and that God appoints whosoever he will. Amen. Belshazzar was Nebuchadnezzar's successor, and Daniel told him, you know what happened to your grandfather when he disrespected God. You were on the scene and you knew all of this, yet you have still not humbled yourself. You have blatantly defied the Lord of the heaven and have used the cups that were taken from the temple to drink wine with your wives and your concubines, your nobles, while praising the Lord, the gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, and stone. How crazy can you be? These small gods cannot see, they cannot hear, and they don't know anything at all. You have chosen to worship and praise them and dishonor God, who gives you breath in your body and gives you life's destiny. Then the part of the hand sent from God wrote the message to you. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. The message that was written means this. Mene means numbered. God has numbered the days of the king Belshazzar's reign and has brought it to an end. Tekel means weighed. The king has been weighed on the balances and he has not measured up. Parson means divided, that your kingdom has been divided and has been given to the Medes and the Persians. Can you read the handwriting on the wall? You see, the king was in need of comfort. He was faced with a terrible dilemma. He received a message, but he didn't understand it. The king was troubled so much that the joints of his legs were locked and his knees smote one against the other. He cried aloud. He had an urgent need that none of his astrologers, none of his soothsayers, or his first in charge, his second, or even his third in charge could answer or help him. He knew that something was about to take place, because as he drank the wine, praising and celebrating the gods of gold and silver and brass and wood and stone, that same hour came those fingers of a man's hand and wrote against the candlestick upon the plaster of his wall. And he saw the part of the hand that wrote. What are we to take from this story, this biblical truth? Are we in a position to hear from God to give an answer, a word of truth, a word of hope, encouragement, a message of peace to someone? Or on the flip side, how about a warning from God? Are we in the position to give a warning to anybody, a message of heed, chastisement, correction, or instruction? How are we living before God and our fellow man? Are we setting any examples that will enable God to use us to give a word, a warning, a message, instructions, hope, or even correction? Daniel had the spirit of the holy God. He had light, he had understanding and wisdom. He walked upright, he was obedient, he didn't compromise the word. He told it just like God gave it to him, and he didn't take bribes. God needs us, but he needs us to be right. He needs us to be in right standing and beyond reproach. Will our lifestyles hinder God's ability to send us to the people we know need to hear a word from him? Because they know that we hear from God, or that we still don't have it together, possibly. Can God use us to give a word of hope to a dying relative? Or to a neighbor who in times past told you it doesn't take all of that? Perhaps they told you, I've got a lot of time and I'm going to enjoy my life. Can you hear from heaven and know what God is telling you to tell them? The writing on the wall is, the writing is on the wall. Can you read it? How about your favorite cousin or your nephew that's just been jailed for driving under the influence of alcohol and drugs? Can you lead him to freedom and deliverance? Can you point the way? Perhaps it's your neighbor that has a gambling addiction who takes all of the money to keep the food on the table, gas in the car and the lights on, blows it on the lottery, and comes to you every Monday to borrow money until the next pay period. Will you continue to support that behavior, or will you be in a position to hear from God and to give a message in due season? Amen. The handwriting on the wall, will you be able to read it? It's on the wall. Can you relate the message before it's too late? Sometimes it's even closer. How about that parent or that sibling that you know is not saved? God has a message for them. Will your lifestyle enable you to reach them and say what thus says the Lord? It's getting late. Can you read the handwriting on the wall? How about that boss or that coworker with all of the power and the money, the Rolexes, the fine cars, that doesn't think they need Jesus? Does your lifestyle support God's ability to send you to them when their world comes crashing down around them? When they lose their job, when their health fails, when their kids become terminally ill, when the market crashes? Can you tell them what the handwriting on the wall says? Can you tell them what time it is? Will you be in a position for God to use you to plant hope or to plant peace or to plant truth or to plant encouragement? Will you be able to interpret God's message for his people in due season? In order to read the handwriting on the wall, in order to discern God's message, in order to interpret the dream, to know the time, we mention walking and living upright. We mention setting the example and being beyond reproach. But it takes a little bit more than that. It takes knowing who God is. In Exodus 3:6, it says, God told Moses, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. It also takes knowing his ways. In Isaiah 55:8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. It takes having a relationship with God. It takes a willingness to obey. In Acts 5:29, Peter said, and the apostles also said, we ought to obey God rather than man. It takes having a heart to trust. Proverbs 3:6 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Amen. It takes knowing his voice. In John 10:4, it says, God's sheep know his voice. A stranger they will not follow. Can you read the handwriting on the wall? In Daniel's case, it was a writing on the wall that God used him to interpret. In our case, it equates to the same thing. It's about being in a position to be used of God for the good of his people. We may or we may not see the writing on the wall. We're talking about the ability to give an answer. It may be knowing that that still small voice is speaking to you. It may be recognizing what God is revealing to you in that dream that keeps haunting you. It may be that face that he brings before you in a vision over and over and over again. It may be through that word of wisdom, through that word of knowledge, through that gift of prophecy. Can you read the handwriting on the wall?